It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio NHRA Nitro.
Race 3 of the NHRA Western Swing, the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals. In the summertime is this weekend. We have got a WFO Radio Results Super Show, the Sonoma Nationals in the books. What a race it was. We're going to be speaking with the winners in the Camping World Drag Racing Series. I'm Joe Costello. If it's your first time watching this show, welcome. Hello. What we're doing is we're putting all the winners into just about 1 hour here, live on social, live on YouTube, live on Twitter. So hopefully you can check out the show, share the show, tell your friends, share it around, and we're going to have ourselves a great time. Robert Height, driver of the Auto Club Chevrolet Camaro for John Force Racing, is just seconds away. We're going to hear from Aaron Stanfield. We're going to hear from Karen Stouffer, and we're scheduled to hear from Steve Torrence, who has got a chance to sweep the swing all on this show. How great is that? Oh, yeah, very official start to the show here today. How great is that? But first, before we do all of that, I got to tell you about the people who make it possible for us to create WFO Radio. And I'm talking about Marvin Rodak and RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Hot sauces, spice rubs, everything good. Coffee roasted fresh per your order. He creates special drag racing themed blends. It is great stuff. Check out RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. What's up, Marvin? 817-924-6821. And Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You know, we had Robert on a couple of weeks ago. He told us about Autumn. Autumn was right before Antron's son, Anson. Like all the youths are going through Frank Hawley's right now. And you can go through too, even if you're not a ute. You just go through the Dragster Adventure. Courses start at $399. Anybody can do it. You're driving a dragster. You make a half track. You make two full track. You're driving. You're hanging out with Frank. They come to you. It's great stuff. Check them out. FrankHawley.com and Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. We say start your education at full speed. Our country needs you, the next generation of machinists and CNC programmers and EFI tuners, all going through Samtech right now. Check them out, samtech.edu. And finally, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, totalseal.com. Hartford and the team have got it going on. He did Walk 1320 with Amanda this past weekend. It was great. I learned a lot, but you can learn a lot about Total Seal Piston Rings by going to the website and, of course, listening to our Hidden Horsepower podcast that we create for them, those of us here at WFO Radio. Check them out, totalseal.com. Also, our friends at Nitro Fish and our own WFO store. Check it out on the website, WFOradio.com. If you haven't spent any time on WFOradio.com, my goodness, you definitely should. All right, it's time to bring him on. You're getting him ready. Here he comes. He won three in a row at Sonoma. What's up with that? Robert Height. Rocking the shorts. What's up, Robert?
How Heck you yeah. doing? Heck yeah. It's summertime in the Winter Nationals, so got to wear shorts.
I like it. You know, I'm wearing shorts too, but I'm not showing anybody. Three in a row at Sonoma. What is it about that place that you guys love so much?
I wish I knew. You know, it's sometimes you just have better luck at certain tracks than others. You know, this is the time of year that Jimmy always figures that we've got to get this Auto Club Chevy in top shape, you know, because the countdown's coming up. You better have your act together. Jimmy, his favorite phrase is, you better have your act together when you go out west, because that's really the last time that, you know, the last testing and the last tune-up before the U.S. Nationals and the countdown begins. So I think it's a lot of its focus and, you know, just we've had enough races where it's time to get our act together.
And yet this year, it's a little different because we got Kansas in there, Kansas before Brainerd. So there's going to be another opportunity, but it seems like you guys have got your act together now. And certainly the way the car was going down the racetrack, there were some races earlier this year where you didn't have your act together. It seems like you've gotten through that. Was that testing? Was that learning? Was that just kind of the blues after taking a year off?
Well, you know, we started the year out good with going to the finals in Gainesville. We didn't get the job done. We, you know, went to Vegas, ran well there, had an explosion. And from there, it kind of seemed to go south. We did get our act together in Houston. But there's been a lot of races that we wish, you know, we could do over. They weren't very good. But what's kind of funny, and this is the honest truth, Friday night's run, we ran 394, and Jimmy was mad. He was so hot. He's like, I'm over this. We have got to change this clutch. It's not working. And he says, it may take us a few races to get this figured out. But he says, if we don't do it now, we are going to be suffering later in the year. I said, Jimmy, do what you got to do. You know, we can afford a few bad races when you have a system like the countdown. And here he goes out there on Saturday and makes basically the two quickest runs. We got points both sessions on Saturday, and it just, he hit it perfectly. And it just, it goes to show you that he and Chris Cunningham have like a sixth sense about what this car needs. And, you know, it's not a lot of guesswork. It's, you know, very educated, calculated moves that they made. And it just, it ran down the track perfectly and in the heat on Saturday and four rounds on Sunday. So it didn't take us a couple races to figure it out. I was happy with that. But we're going to, you know, coming to Pomona this weekend, going to be hotter, a lot different racetrack, you know, situation than we had up in Sonoma. So, you know, only time's going to tell whether all the changes he made are going to work this weekend.
That's amazing that, you know, you win the first race after a big change, and he was super happy in the winner's circle. We'll talk about that when we get there. But everybody weighing in on social out there, which I love. Barrichello Nitro is out there, and Maddie is out there, and everybody just saying, what's up, checking in. Hopefully they will share the show regardless of which social media they are on. Loving the Super Show. We're going to have Torrance at the end of the show. Aaron Stanfield, who also drives a Chevrolet in Pro Stock, will be up right after you. And even some questions like, Robert, we haven't seen your competition number 7,000 in a long time. I also noticed that you use it in Twitter, for instance. What's with 7,000, says Derek.
So the reason you haven't seen it in a long time is I've always been in the top 10. But with JFR sitting out last year, I didn't make the top 10. So you go back to the original 7,000 number that was issued to me. And a lot of people think, oh, wow, I requested 7,000 when I went and got my alcohol license. That wasn't the case. It was just got my alcohol license, applied for the number, and they sent me 7,000. So I think it's a cool number, nice round number, and seven's lucky to me.
You just took whatever they gave you, whichever, you know, they're angling, you know, someone else's number or some sort of tribute or some sort of thing or some sort of connection. You just like, whatever, I'm happy to have my license, send it.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So we're back at 7,000 this year, and hopefully with a lot of hard work, it'll be back with a number one next year.
All right, let's talk about the round by round. You mentioned Steven Densham and the tie between Gary Densham and John Force Racing and Steven. And that's a tough first round matchup. Like, they know how to go down racetracks. They don't show up to all these races, but they have the ability to knock out a heavy hitter in round one. We've seen it happen many times, and you didn't take them lightly with that 393.8, a strong pass in the first round to fight your way into the second round.
Yeah, we saw Steven Densham's numbers on the first run on Friday, and the only run on Friday. And he honestly had some of the best early numbers and then lifted out there. So we knew they were capable of throwing down. Gary Densham's plenty savvy. Jimmy helps that team from time to time. And you can't go up there and take them lightly. Honestly, my car probably could have been low ET first round if it hadn't dropped a cylinder at 330 feet. So that was still with a cylinder out, and I think it was second low. So it was a good run to start the day.
Rodak says 7,000 round wins coming along soon, and that is interesting.
Wow.
The second round matchup, though, against JR. JR was on stage with John, and we're doing this dry erase board thing, and I, you know, like when those two run each other, there's nothing other than competition, two former champions. But JR got by John, and so now he had to run a second Force car, and you were able to get around him. And I think it just shows the very competitive nature of Funny Car right now, where every round is a potential championship run. You're going up against JR, the DHL Coletta car, the Toyota. They were 06, you were 393, and you were able to load them up.
Yeah, that was a good run. Same thing. You can't go up there and take these guys lightly. They can turn this thing around and run good anytime. He's a great driver, and they're the guys that beat us in Gainesville in the final. So No, we owed him one, but it just shows you, you know, I had three rounds of championship drivers in a row, and that's how competitive and tough this class is. And, you know, you better be on your game. The car and the driver had better be on their game all four rounds. And that's what really makes, you know, winning one of these national events so awesome. You've accomplished something at the end of the day when you're holding that trophy.
No doubt. Semifinals against Caps. Caps had Rick Allen from Def Leppard hanging out there, so he had a little extra mojo going. I know you both are kind of from the region, and so you have a love for the area. But whenever you and Caps run against each other, it's arguably the two best in the business. And if you take John off the top because of his incredible 153 wins, you guys are the next two winningest funny car drivers out there, having come in and, you know, kind of the same era. So whenever that race happens, it's awesome. And then you got Dean Antonelli and you got John Medlin over there, and everyone's worked at Force at some point. And so that's got to be there's got to be a lot of layers to that matchup.
It's big. They were number one qualifier. They made good runs on Saturday. They were low ET on first round. So they're right there with us. I mean, I don't feel we have a performance advantage. You got to go up there and just do it a little better than they did. And we did. So tough race. Ron Capps, I've always said this, he probably makes the least amount of mistakes of any driver out there. He's just the steadiest competitor, and, you know, he gets a job done for a lot of years. So a lot of fun racing him.
Oh, I know it. All right, final round against Matt Hagan. Matt Hagan had a shot to sweep the Western Swing. This final round is the reason he is not going to sweep the Western Swing. It's a big, big deal. Let's watch. The final round is called by Brian Lones, Tony Pedregon on Fox Sports 1, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Matt Hagan's 036 on the Christmas tree. Who's got the tune-up? But it's going to be Robert Height. Height goes 397-1 at 322 miles an hour. Matt Hagan 399-1 at 324. A classic here, Tony, a classic.
Well, that really could have gone either way. And when we saw the reaction time from Matt Hagan, it almost seemed like Robert Height is going to be doomed. Both of them slowed down a little. That was a little bit of a surprise to see. But by the eighth mile, rather 330 feet, nearly identical. By the eighth mile is where Robert Height gained about 0.02 of a second. That and 4 mile an hour at that 660-foot mark is what made the difference.
Right behind you, hollering for you all day. You said in your interview prior to your run that you were going to stop Matt. Why were you so sure?
Well, just the way this Auto Club Chevy's been running all day long. Jimmy and Chris have this thing running on a string. We've got good luck here. We had lane choice every round, so I just had a lot of confidence in my team. I got to have my confidence in myself. But this trophy's going to Cornwell Tools, Don Russell. It's his birthday a few days ago. We had our Jayco trailer here this weekend. It's been an unbelievable weekend. We're heading to Auto Club Raceway now.
And, of course, the interview with Amanda Busick at the top end. You're very fired up, Robert. It's like you just won something.
It's exciting. I mean, people ask, you know, that's, you know, when they are around me, I'm not really like that, you know, and it's there's a lot of adrenaline, you know, a lot of pressure leading up to a final round, any round, actually, but final round especially. And, you know, when you can get the job done, it's a relief, a lot of adrenaline flowing, and you've got to let it out and have some fun.
Absolutely. Derek says, thanks for answering his question, Bob. I've called you Bob Height a couple times just because I heard you reference yourself and have heard you reference. And so you told me a story once upon a time about, you know, Robert versus Bob. And somebody asked me, I wonder if you can share that story and how that came to be.
So, yeah, my team has always called me Bob. I don't mind. I answered anything, heck. But truthfully, one of the guys that work back at the shop that does our graphic design and everything, makes the decals, he put Bob Height on my helmet one time. And I had it on there forever and ever. And then John saw it, and John was like, people are going to be confused. Why do you go by Bob? No one calls you Bob. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of people that call me Bob. Anyway, after John said that, I ended up taking it off. But for the longest time, my helmet had Bob Height on it.
I think it's a term of endearment, right? Like I don't know. It's like Robert's your official name, and you know, Bob is your nickname. But Robert's good.
I'll go by anything.
Yeah, your name, like, you're talking to a guy named Joe, okay? As common as Bob is, it's not as common as Joe. All right, let's talk about Auto Club Raceway. The last thing you said in your interview with Amanda was, like, you're fired up to go to Auto Club Raceway. The sponsor's race, the sponsor, Auto Club Southern California, the car culture, all those great things. But have we done this before? Like, Auto Club Raceway is a track that has got a lot of character. It's going to be very tricky out there. It's a short track. It's going to be hot out there. I think it's going to pose a great challenge to you guys. What is your, like, pregame of the Winter Nationals in the summertime?
It's I'm going to compare it to, like, Bristol in July, June. We go to Bristol in June, and we didn't do that this year. But it's hot. It's humid. We're not going to have the humidity out here. Tricky track conditions. So, you know, those are the kind of runs that Jimmy and Chris will go back and look at and try to figure out, how do we need to navigate this thing? I think, you know, on Sunday, it's going to be mighty edgy to run 3 second runs. I think, you know, 405 is going to be a good run all day on Sunday. And we just got to get this thing dialed in from Q1 on, and we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, the night qualifying thing is going to be great for the fans. Saturday is going to be a little bizarre because we're going to be going late on Saturday and then a little early on Sunday, and the conditions are going to be totally different. So that's going to kind of throw everyone for a loop. That having been said, I think the Southern California drag racing fans are going to love nighttime qualifying.
They are. You know, back in like early 2000, I think we ran a race here in July. John ended up winning it. I think it was the 50th anniversary of NHRA. So that was pretty cool, and the fans loved it. Just I'm glad to be racing. You know, it's been a long time since we've been out here in Pomona. We normally get to do it twice a year, and only once last year. Haven't been there yet this year, so can't wait for this weekend. It's exciting. You know, I really look at Sonoma as my home racetrack from where I grew up. But from where I live now, and, you know, all of our teams here in Southern California, and, you know, the Auto Club, this is really a home race for us.
What about the thing breaking the tie with Joe Amato, the legend? Anytime a legend comes out there, and Joe has been great and gracious, he comes out, he hangs, he still enjoys the sport, he loves it, and such a legacy in our sport, like, did it the right way, was an innovator, came up with things, broke records, all his cars were beautiful and classy, and had the record for winning as Top Fuel driver for so many years. And you have now moved beyond that, which is amazing and insane to think about, but it's reality. What does that mean to you?
It's hard for me to even, you know, wrap my hands around, because, you know, when I grew up as a kid, I followed Joe Amato, John Force, Kenny Bernstein, all these guys. And, you know, never did I think I'd ever even get to drive a car. And now I've got more wins than this guy. It's almost unreal. You know, the guy held every record there was in Top Fuel for so many years. And it's crazy. I think he's got more championships than me. So That's really the big one. That's a biggie, and I'll be chasing that next.
And you're working on that. You're working on that. Lauren saying congratulations on your win, which is very cool, motivating people. But you are working on it. You mentioned the countdown, and
thanks, Lauren.
And you're focused on the countdown. And I could tell you that Jimmy and Chris were super. I know you know this. Super happy in the winner's circle, and Jimmy's, like, you know, blowing off steam. You know, Joe, I'm a funny guy, and I was like, I know you are. We just don't see it on the starting line, and I understand it. But that countdown mode, though, going in there in the first position. Last year, we didn't even have a countdown. Last year, you didn't even race. Like, countdown strategy, methodology, how to do it, how to win, how to prepare for it, clutch packs, all of those things. I would imagine it's still all the same. We've got an extra race this year. You know, how are you guys thinking about that? It sounds like it's right at the front of your mind.
It is. That's what we're all focused on, all the teams out there. But, you know, we dug ourselves a pretty good hole. We were back to sixth after Denver. Denver was a horrible race for us. So, you know, with all the big guys going out early and everybody that's at the top of the points, we really had to make hay that day, and we got it done. So that was a big deal to get us back into this fight. And, you know, those other teams, they're not going to be dead forever. They'll probably be back this weekend tougher than ever. So We can't rest too long. We got to work hard and get back after it this weekend. That's what I like about, you know, this time of year. You're racing a lot. And the team's better. The crew chiefs are better. The drivers do a better job. And it's just this is the way it should be to me. I hate racing and then taking a few weeks off. Like to keep it going.
I agree. Well, momentum, and it shows us who's got what, and everybody gets in a groove. Even the announcers get into a groove. And great stuff. What is it? 7 drivers within 100 points at the top of Funny Car. Like, to me, you mentioned you were at 6th and now you're up in 3rd. It's just amazing to watch this thing move around, and there's going to be a lot more moving. All right, Robert, I appreciate you coming on the show. Do you know Aaron Stanfield? Have you guys talked at all, or do you know the kid?
Really, I had never met him until, in the final round after we had won. Awesome guy, good kid, and got to know him a little bit there in the final. So that's cool.
Let me bring him on. Cause I just like the cross pollination of like Chevy Camaro Nitro driver, Chevy Camaro Pro Stock driver, both winners at Sonoma on at the same time. This is something we rarely get to see. I don't know how well you guys know each other, but you both drive Camaros. It's just Aaron. He's about 100 miles per hour faster than you.
Yep. He's got a little speed on me. Congratulations to him and what his team had done this last week. And it's pretty cool.
Congratulations to you too.
Thank you.
I overheard you and Torrance talking, about you'd like to step in there and drive his top fueler. That was pretty cool. One of these days, I want to drive a pro stock.
I lost connection a little bit there. Sorry.
Oh, he lost.
I missed what you said. Bit.
Robert Height is telling you that he's heard you talk to Steve Torrance about driving his top fueler. He just said he'd love to drive a pro stock car one day. Did you hear that?
Well, yes. Whenever you're ready, we can make a little swap and make a couple test passes
right.
in each other's car.
I think Chevy would like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, Robert, what do you know about driving a pro stock car? First of all, I think it's great that you have that desire, right? Like, a lot of people think, well, when you go 300 miles per hour, but there's all these different things you're doing in a pro stock car. I know you can handle it, but just the experience, what makes you want to drive a pro stock car?
I just think that the technology is amazing. You know, they're searching for every single horsepower. And, like Frank Holly told me one time, he says, those guys have really difficult tasks and they make it look easy because they're great drivers. So I have a lot of respect for them. I love watching it. And I've always followed, Warren Johnson, Bob Glidden, all throughout, when I was a kid. So I've always loved pro stock.
It's awesome. Well, I know it's tough, right? It's tough to get these cars to go down the track one time, but if we could do some sort of Team Chevy driver swap moment that originated with this conversation, that would be super cool. No pressure, guys, obviously, but I know you both love it and I would love it. And you know who would love it the most? The fans would love to see something like that. So if it could happen, I'd love to see it. Robert, thank you very much for coming on the show. I appreciate you. We'll see you in a couple of days. Friday night qualifying, Auto Club Raceway, Winter Nationals in the summertime, Southern California drag racing. I don't think of too many better things than that. I'm just super excited, and we'll see you there.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good luck this weekend.
There he goes.
Thank you, too.
With us here on WFO Radio. What do you think about that, Aaron? Like, the guy wants to do a driver swap at some point, or he wants to run a pro stock car. Do you really think you could make that happen, Freeman and all those guys?
I'm sure the right chance, right opportunity came along that, it's possible it could happen. Of course, both of us would have to learn how to drive each other's cars, but I've always been told, the drivers can adapt to, whatever cars they hop in. So I would imagine he would do, with time, he'd do a great job in pro stock too. So
how would you do?
How would I do? Yeah. I'd mainly have a blast going that fast. I don't know how I'd do, but I would have a blast.
No, I know how you would do. You've proven already that you're a very adaptable racer, from top dragster to factory showdown to tuning cars to stock and super stock to pro stock. And now you've got your third pro stock win in 4 final rounds in what I feel like is a very short career, right? Like, you haven't been doing this that long, and to be able to go out there and have a day like this, and in my opinion, solidify your name in the conversation for the championship. Like people like, who's going to win the championship? Who can win the championship? Oh, Greg and Erica, Erica, Greg, Aaron Stanfield is in that conversation no matter what now.
We definitely want to be in the mix of that. We don't show up to just make some laps down the racetrack. So our goal when we go to every race is to win. So the championship is definitely something that's not off the list of things that we want to accomplish as a team. So hopefully we can keep our name in the hat as the year goes on.
Let's talk a little bit about like point standings wise, just to put a point on that. Second in the points, you and E kind of going back and forth. You're 135 behind Greg. I feel like that number has maybe stabilized a little bit. Greg is out there, but it's been a while since Greg has won a race. It's kind of interesting to see the way that is going. As you guys unload each week, tell me what the chemistry is like with the team as you guys are, you know, like a second or third team at Elite. I guess the third team at Elite with the Janik Brothers operation. Did we lose you? He's frozen. And this is a good opportunity for me to tell all the WFO radio, I'm going to kick him out. That's what I do. I just kick him out and he'll be back. He'll be back momentarily. That's what he'll do. He'll connect back in. This is a good opportunity for me to tell everybody out there that, you know, sharing the show and telling your friends about it. I just love what we've got going on with these super shows because these drivers, you know, the idea that Aaron and Robert are talking to each other and kind of talking about a car swap, I just don't see enough of that. I would love to see more of that. So hopefully Aaron will get back in. Yeah, he knows the drill. Guy knows the drill. He knows to come right back in. There he is.
The chemistry is getting, you know, really good. Big Al, Rodney, Casey, Tim Freeman, Jake, all the guys have worked really hard to make sure I have a good race car and competitive race car. So we've been gelling for, you know, a good while now, and it's starting to come together, and I'm starting to find my way a little bit behind the wheel. So hopefully we can continue to see some success from us.
Let's talk about round one, Chris McGahey. Chris was late, and that's not his normal deal. I'm sure he was beating himself up on it. You ran 54.2, 0.26 reaction time. And that's, I think that 0.20 reaction time is where you need to be when you're normal and then be able to ramp it up when needed. Is that what you shoot for? Are you like going for 20? What's your target round one against normal competition reaction time? Hopefully.
You know, I definitely don't want to be any worse. And, you know, 29 is that's as late as I want to be. And a lot of times I fall short of that. Thank you. A lot of times I fall short of that. And, you know, of course, the 20 range and the teen range, I think that's a really happy place. And if we continue to have a really fast race car like we've had the past several races, I think that's a hard package to beat most of the time.
Absolutely. Second round, you had to go up against Hartford. Hartford did the walk 13:20, has been really good going to the semifinals like many races in a row. They've got a good program over there, but that's a tough second round matchup. And you guys were able to get to the finish line, maintaining your performance. You ran 54.9 with an 0.33. He left a couple of ticks ahead of you, but backed up to a 58, their worst run of the weekend, if memory serves me right. If there was anything about this weekend, it was that the field was so close, just 0.03 of a second separating like 12 drivers or something ridiculous like that. Talk about preparing for Hartford.
You know, I, of course, the past couple times I've raced him, he's whooped up on me a little bit. So we definitely went up there, you know, really wanting to get that round win. And they're great racers. Him and Eddie do a great job with the car. And of course, you know, they have the KB power to run good. So, and we all know what Matt can do behind the wheel. So it was of course, every round's tough, but that was a tough round. And we made a really good run, and I was good enough on the tree to get by him. So
now you mentioned, Melissa's out there. Speaking of Mrs. Lindsay, congratulations, Aaron. Stay positive. I've never heard you not be positive. Is there ever a time where you're not positive?
Normally I'm a relatively positive person, but she brings all the positive vibes to the team. She was great to have around in Sonoma. We've tried to get her to, you know, come to some more races now that, you know, we call her the good luck charm.
There you go. I didn't know that she was even there. I didn't see her. But then again, I didn't get into the pits very much. I didn't get to see you at all in the pit area, just taking care of business and running around like a maniac and all. But that's great that Mrs. Lindsay was out there. Speaking of Hartford and Eddie Granaccia, I just can't help but think of the connection to your dad. Eddie, your dad, the U.S. Nationals, like that whole Eddie was very close to the team. And so you know him very well, and I'm sure he knows you very well. What's that relationship like between you guys?
You know, I grew up around pro stock, and I got a chance to watch Eddie and my dad work together, and I know what he's capable of, and he knows what he's doing with the race car. So it's cool to get to race against my, you know, my dad, people my dad used to work with and race against. And of course, Matt's always been extremely good to us, him and Total Seal as a friend and as a person we do business with. So it's a good relationship. But when we both pull up to the start line, we're wanting to beat each other.
Oh, I'm sure. And hey, yesterday we had a question and for Alan Reinhardt. But since you're here, you're the perfect guy since you're talking Total Seal and parts. Someone asked, since Stanfield Racing Engines builds racing engines, and you guys are particularly knowledgeable in the showdown stuff and have run pro stock, the question was, why do you choose to, you know, run for Elite with Elite Power as opposed to having your own program? I know the answer, but if you could explain that for some of the listeners out there, like you guys have, you know, a lot of pro stock related knowledge. And even I think Reinhardt mentioned that they want your dad to, you know, keep a little distance because they know that he knows what's up with these engines. Talk a little bit about that, because for them, for all intents and purposes, you're the driver. You're a driver.
Yes. We have so many other things going on with Stanfield Racing Engines. It would be tough to dedicate the time and effort to a pro stock program. And not only that, to start a new program, it obviously takes a good bit of money. We've always been friends with the Freemans and Elite. So it just kind of the shoe fit, and we just kind of took off and ran with it. We all worked good together, and we've all worked with each other before. So, you know, we kind of knew how everybody acted. But like I said, we have a lot of things going on with our showdown program, and it's kind of an effort thing. If I can't put in the effort and the time that each project deserves, we just don't need to take it on. So fortunately, I still got the opportunity to just drive, and that's what I'm doing. So
I think it's better. Honestly, I think it's better because you're in your wheelhouse. Pro stock is so tough. You need a whole operation for pro stock, and the showdown stuff, you guys got out in front of it and have been like on the cutting edge of it, and you're having great success in it, and you can focus on driving a pro stock car, and that's what you need to focus on in pro stock, tuning the showdown cars, keep the family business going. It's great stuff. All right, let's talk about the semifinal where you're going up against Greg, and now you get your opportunity to stop Greg from tying Warren Johnson. And for Greg, like, I feel terrible for the guy because he's like knocking at the door and the door is not opening, but he knows how it goes. Whenever you get up against a milestone, this is how it is. And you left first and he got a little sideways. I don't imagine you were able to see what happened with him, but he got close to the center line and had to get off the throttle.
Yes, that's what he told me at the finish line. He said he was fixing to come and see me if he didn't stop. So definitely glad he stopped. I hate that he got a little loose out there. I think it'd have been a really tight finish if that could have gone either way, if he would have made it all the way down. But you know, hats off to him. He's been driving good. He's had a fast car, and you know, like I said, everything's got to come together to win. And he knows that probably more than anybody out there. So we all know it's only a matter of time before he accomplishes that milestone and that goal of his.
I agree. It's just a matter of time. When's it going to happen? Where's it going to happen? But it's like, you guys are making it tough on him. Nobody wants to be that guy.
My plan is to make it tough for sure.
There it is. All right. Let's watch the final round. It's called by Brian Lones and Tony Pedregon, Amanda Busick at the top end on Fox Sports 1, your big win. And then we'll talk about Dallas Glenn, because you're running all these legends and champions and guys that are great. And Dallas is in the same boat as you are, like a young racer trying to make his name. I wonder how much tougher that is. Let's watch the final.
A fun final in Sonoma in Pro Stock. And now we wait. Oh, 16 reaction time for Glenn, a 20 light for Stanfield. Who's got the horsepower? It's Stanfield. Across the finish line stripe, 6.55.7, as Dallas Glenn's car was quicker down low, but it was slower at the top end of the drag strip. Aaron Stanfield collecting another victory here in Pro Stock, his third and his fourth final round appearance.
And Aaron's holding his third career Wally. And when you look back at today's event, what run do you think was the one that really set you up for this performance here in the finals?
That's tough to say. Every run's really important, and the guys did a great job with the hot rod today. I felt like I was driving halfway decent, and they were giving me a great race car. And I always said everything's got to come together to win, and today it came together. And I got to thank everybody at Elite, Tim Freeman, Big Al, Rodney, Casey, all the guys that worked so hard on this race car, the Janik brothers, JC3 Energy. These guys let me get out here and do what I love, and you know, all my friends and family back home rooting for me. It's a good day.
Congratulations. Yes!
I love that kid. He's so happy.
Yes. Special moments.
Special moment. What about it? Dallas going up against very different, right? Like Greg Anderson. Oh, my gosh, this is Greg Anderson. Going up against Eddie, who raced with your dad, Chris McGaye. Guy's been running comp forever. And Dallas Glenn, he's kind of a peer to you, right? Hardworking, young guy, loves pro stock, hungry, trying to make his way. Is it different running a guy like Dallas than a guy like Greg? Frozen.
Sorry about that, Joe.
I'm frozen. They're downloading. Someone's downloading important vitals in the back of the shop there. All right. What about running Dallas?
Yes. He's tough. He's already been to two final rounds and gotten one win in the short amount of time he's been racing pro stock. So he is going to be somebody that I would imagine will continue to be an extremely tough competitor to all of us at Elite. So it was something I knew going up there that he was going to be going on the tree. So I knew I needed to be good on the tree, and I knew I had a fast race car. So if I was good on the tree, we had a good shot at winning.
All right. Let me ask you, who's Mimi?
Who's Mimi? That's my grandmother, my dad's.
She's watching.
Greg.
Mimi's watching WFO radio. What's up, Mimi?
She's the boss at the shop.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
She keeps everybody straightened out over there.
She keeps everybody in check.
That is great. Well, she's watching. I don't know. Like, that's like, maybe it's not positive. Maybe you better do a better job, Aaron. Like, what's does she motivate you? Is she like a loving motivator or a tough motivator?
She is probably one of my biggest fans. She's always extremely supportive of me and everything I do. And she'll definitely let me know whenever I did it wrong, because she's been around drag racing for a long time.
That is awesome. Our another VIP, Casey Freeman, says, because I beat him in our golf game before round one. What about that?
Yeah. So me and Casey, we have this app. Casey does the back half on our car, and that's Royce's son. He's really fun to be around, and he's done a great job, working on the race car. But we have a golfing app that we play a round of golf against each other before race day. And normally he beats me. And, we did it in New Hampshire and he beat me and I won. And we did it here in Sonoma. He beat me and then I won. So we think there's something to it.
Oh, there is. There obviously is a little luck, yep. Right? A little magic.
Yeah, he says he gets me motivated.
Yeah, but you can't throw the game to him, right? Like you have to try your best and just
lose. I got to try. That's in my nature. I'm competitive.
Oh, I know it. I know you are. All right, talk Winter Nationals. Lucas Oil Winter Nationals in the summertime. Going to be great to be going back there. First time since 2020. Those fans, they love Pro Stock. And, well, actually, was Pro Stock there at the 2020 Winter Nationals? I don't know, right? The schedule is a blur in my mind, but the bottom line is it's going to be a hot racetrack. It's going to be a hot weekend. Getting a hold of the track is going to be tricky. What do you got planned?
It's definitely going to be tricky, and that's something the guys, Tim, Mark, and Jake have already been talking about, that the track's probably going to be pretty tricky. So it's something to keep in mind, and I'm going to try to show up and try to keep keep producing the same, you know, the same drive and results. And I have total confidence in them that they're going to give me a smooth, fast race car. And hopefully we can, everything goes right, we can try to do it again.
Yes. Well, exactly. Now, you know how to win now, and it's not a new thing. And it's not like your first win or your second win. It's your third win, which honestly, I don't want to say nobody cares about it, but it's just like another win. Now you're creating a pile. You're creating a pile, a trophy case, a room of Wally's. And I can't wait to see how many you can get over the next few years. You clearly have a great team and a great car. And you're like, are you comfortable now? Do you feel like fully comfortable in the pro stocker where you can do your thing?
Very comfortable. Like I've said, the guys working on the car, they're enjoyable to race with. And that's always important. And I'm starting to get more comfortable behind the seat as well. So I think and hope we will continue to have some more success.
That is great. I think you will. Aaron, congratulations. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us here on WFO Radio. I wish you the best of luck this weekend, and I'll see you in a few days. Well, here we go again, right?
Here we go again. Thank you, Joe.
There you go. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate you, and we'll see you in a few days. There he goes. Aaron Stanfield, Team Elite, the Janik brothers with us here on WFO Radio. Great stuff. And, we've been following his career for always, right? Since there was a career, and the kid is just a rocket ship and doing so well. Now that doesn't mean, Erica is not going anywhere and Greg is not going anywhere. And none of these guys and gals that are tough, Hartford wants to win a championship. They're not going anywhere. And so it's going to be very interesting to see. All right. Steve Torrance still coming up on WFO Radio Super Show. We're going to hear from our Top Fuel winner who has got a chance to sweep the Western Swing. Will it happen? Do they have a little something extra for the Winter Nationals, the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals at Auto Club Raceway in Pomona, California? Put some comments in the comment section. What we're going to do is we're going to watch the Pro Stock Motorcycle final round. And, I've got this thing. I got a thing where I like a really just want to be true blue and honest with everybody out there in the audience. And I reach out to Karen Stoffer and I said, Karen, can you make the Super Show? She could not. She could not make the Super Show, but she was available yesterday. And so we put together something. It is pre-recorded. I am going to play it for you. It is yesterday, but I'm going to pretend as if it was today. And we'll see if I can pull it off. But you know the truth, right? This happened yesterday. It's pre-recorded. But let's see if I can pull it off anyway. So let's watch the final round with Karen. Karen's huge victory in Pro Stock Motorcycle. It's a very special race for her. We're going to watch the final round, and then we'll go into the interview that's pre-recorded with Karen. Hopefully everything works. This is new stuff for me. I'm doing my best. In the meantime, you can subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, WFO. Hit up our sponsors as we watch Fox Sports 1, Brian Lones, Tony Pedregon, Amanda Busick, and Karen Stoffer, her big win out there in Sonoma.
Karen Stoffer, a minuscule advantage on the starting line. Andrew Hines starts to dig into that Vance and Hines horsepower. It's Karen Stoffer, 679.8, 197.36 miles an hour by 51 ten-thousandths of a second. A brilliant final round.
Well, things really went the way of Karen Stoffer. Now, she improved her performance based on what she did during the first and second round semifinals.
NHRA career 25 years ago. You are now holding your 10th career rally. You said this was a bucket list win. What's this journey been like for you?
Yeah, Sonoma race is absolutely on my bucket list. I kind of call it my home track because I raced Division 7 so long and I was a Division 7 championship. So, coming here to Sonoma, this has been phenomenal with the friends and family. And, Tim Kalungian and Jerry and the War Bike, they put me a good package together. I know before in my interview I said I could go toe-to-toe, and I really... It was a good race with Andrew, but I tell you what, that TK Motorsports and that Jerry, that War racing bike is phenomenal. I am so honored to ride it. But this is for, all the people that have stuck with me, the Skillman. But specifically at Sonoma, this really goes out to the Seiple family. I was born and raised at this track, did a lot of racing here, and so this one's for the Seiple family in its entirety.
And we are back. Karen Stouffer, pro stock motorcycle winner out there at Sonoma, joining us now. Karen, a huge victory, a surprise victory for some of us. What about you? You seem to be pretty confident all weekend long.
Well, I did feel confident, actually. You know, I felt confident in Tim and the work that he did on the bikes. And it really kind of showed. The first round, I knew that we had a good program with both Jerry and I. Both war bikes were pretty deep in there, and that was a good sign. So, yeah, and, you know, it's may have shown as confidence, but it's really just I enjoy the Sonoma track. It's what I consider one of my home tracks because it's a Division 7 track, and I just feel really comfortable there. We have a lot of friends and family there. So, yeah, I'm really happy that we finally got to end up on top at the end of that weekend.
That is great. You know, it's occurring to me that we haven't had you on the show in a while. The 2020 year was obviously lost and you guys didn't even bother to go out, which it makes sense. But since we've been doing this live stream, like, I get to see Karen. This is great stuff.
Yeah, this is my first time on your show. So I'm honored to be here, and maybe we can somehow figure out a way to do it again a couple times this year.
Well, maybe so if you keep running the way you did. And it was a little surprising. I had to come over and ask you. It's like, hey, you got the two valve in there? And you said, we got the little baby in there, but it was working.
Yeah, you know, I have not run a four valve at all ever. Everybody thinks that maybe we had a four valve, but Jerry has the four valve in his bike. I've always had the two valve in my bike. And so, you know, when we were in Charlotte and we were going deeper in the rounds, it was always with the two valve. So I can't tell you what the four valve's like, but I think that if once Timmy gets it all figured out, there may be one in my bike. I don't know. It's really up to him what he wants to do. But either way, I really love riding the bike they gave me, and I really think that motor's very good. So I'm content with whatever decision they make.
That is great. Yes. Well, exactly. And Gary was super pumped. Let's talk about you round by round. Where first round, you're the number two qualifier. You're going up against Scott Bodorf, which, you know, it was great to see some new faces out there. But 001 in the first round, that's flirting with disaster. Of course, it doesn't matter because it came up green, but we've seen you get locked in sometimes and go 00 almost every round. And this seemed like it was one of those days where you were just locked in very close, but able to manage.
Yeah, that was definitely not intentional, the 001. You know, I'm pretty consistent in my riding, and we know if my numbers show up the right way on qualifying Sunday, they're going to be right about where we want them to be. So it kind of concerned me a little bit with that 001, but then I just kind of looked back and said, hey, I was where I wanted to be in qualifying. Tim knows all how my program works. So I feel good going in. I feel good going into the next rounds, but yeah, that definitely wasn't a plan. Some people might call it a poor attempt at a red light, but yeah, we ended up on the right side of it. You know, and Scott's been out. He's raced a couple of races before. He's doing good. He's got Blake Gann helping him out. He wasn't there this weekend, but yeah, you can't take any rider lightly out there. So, you know, I just try to do my job consistently every single time and give Tim a nice consistent package so he can tune the bike and tune it for how I race on Sunday.
And the second round, you got to go up against Joey Gladstone, who is emerging and tough. And I really feel like he's going to be one of the, a race winner before the season is out. That's just something I'm betting on. But he ran into you and you were super quick and you left right with him and put a 78 up on the board. He was 83, not bad, but just not in the 70s. And at this race, you had to be running in the 70s.
You bet. And you and I have the same opinion of that. Joey absolutely is going to be up on the podium, as well as Corey. I think he's going to be up on the podium. There's going to be a lot of riders that are going to be up there this year. But, you know, with Joey, we kind of joke around. He rode with us for a while back when we were under Stouffer Enterprise and Underdog Racing. And we talked about our lights, and we talked about usually when we get up against each other, we usually have pretty good lights against each other. This time we had comparable, but he did get me out of the gate. So props to him on that one. Unfortunately, I think for him, I think he might have had a little bit of issue with his motor on the top end. But, you know, we turned on the wind light there. We did have the 78 when we needed it. We needed that pass against Joey's bike. So it was a good race. That was a fun race. I always love racing Joey, but unfortunately, I've seen him way too much this year.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it, and it's all a blur, right? The whole weekend is a blur, and now I'm debriefing and thinking a little bit. No, I remember that wisp of smoke coming out of Joey's bike, and I even remember talking to Corey and Big Dave, Tall Dave, after it, and they tore up something. They had a problem, which you never want to see. But yeah. In this, that's part of it, right? And they're kind of finding their way and getting better along the way. And there's going to be some broken parts here and there. You came out on top on this one, though. But yeah, Joey's going to get a win. But then you got to go up against Jerry, right? Who's hungry also.
Like, yeah, you know. Out. And I was just talking about the fact that Tim had both those bikes running flawlessly. You know, the big St. Charles Skillman bike, as long as Jerry's war bike, they were both running. We qualified pretty close to each other whenever we ran, and we were only a foul apart or maybe two. So it was tough. And, you know, obviously going up with the owner, I think the most challenging part and the hardest part for me to really grasp was what happened on that starting line. You know, poor Jerry does a burnout. He has some issues with his bike, and I'm sitting over there, and I saw the corner of my eye. I'm already getting ready to go in, and I see out of the corner of my eye a lot of flurry and activity over in the next lane over there. So I just waited a second. It still didn't move. There was a lot of activity going on. So I turned my head over there, and I looked at him, and I watched him, and I saw them messing around with the bike and trying to get the gas cap or do something with the gas tank, I think it was. But I just kept my eyes on Tim, and you know, I was not going to stage that bike until Tim gave me the okay to do so. If I could have ran out of fuel right there, but I was going to do it because that's the team owner. They support me. I want to win, but I certainly want to do it with a fair race. And I hate the fact that people have issues like that. So Tim and I just kind of kept looking at, you know, he would give me the eye and say, wait, wait, wait. And I just sat there and waited until I was ready. And, you know, I think that might be why I had that double three. I certainly didn't want to throw down against him, but I'd been waiting there for a long time. So I was anxious to go. So we put up a 003 light. Unfortunately, Jerry didn't get to make the pass, but I feel it was a pretty strong pass at that time of the afternoon for our war bike.
Absolutely. And the 003 reaction time, again, you were locked in. It makes sense that if you sit there for a long time, you'll either get, you know, I don't know what it is, super intense or super relaxed or one or the other, but you hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. Again, I wasn't really intentional. Again, Tim knows my rhythm. He knows how I am on Sundays, and I think he's just able to tune to it. It probably was a little bit more of the weight that brought it into the 00s, you know, sitting there waiting like that. But yeah, we turned the win line on, and that's what it took.
And sets up a final round against Andrew Hines, who is like the winningest racer out there at Sonoma. But I think it was your crew guy. Is it Freddie who says he was telling me that Ali had success on the same bike for several races, and he's like, hey man, and I forget what the stat was, but he was like, I think this bike has won here like four times in the past, so watch out for Karen. He told me that very early in the weekend, right? And it went into the back of my mind, and I was like, all right, like, when can I use this note? And the answer is, it didn't come out. I didn't get to use that note at any point until right now. And that is just kind of an interesting note that that bike likes Sonoma and you like Sonoma, and those two things came together for a win over Andrew Hines. Tell us about the final.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I actually thought about that and Ellie and the success he's had, not only on that bike with that team, but also just at that racetrack in general. And so going into the final round, Andrew, gosh, we've raced Andrew. We raced him in St. Louis back in 2019 in the final that we won. I think we've actually, if you look at the stat book, we've raced him at Sonoma there in the final round one other time before, many years back. So, yeah, tough one. Absolutely. He's not a champ. He's not called the champion for nothing. Everybody out there is good, but he's especially good. So didn't want to let my guard down. Didn't actually have a fantastic life, but we got off the line together. And honestly, I did not see him the whole way. I was focused. Last words Tim told me to do, he goes, twist that wick as hard as you can. So I just held the throttle wide open as hard as I could, just held it there, tucked, got under the paint, and did not even think or try. You can see out of your peripheral. I didn't see him at all. And I just tried to go wire to wire. And that's what turned on the wind light.
And when the wind light came on, and we spoke about this, we texted actually about it. It feels like it's been a long time, but not really that long, right? 2019, you got a win. Where was it? St. Louis.
And yes, then you took a countdown.
Right. And so how many, you know, many races between that you have entered? It's not really been that many. You won pretty recently given this year and the very end of 2019. But just the same, the wind light comes on and that feeling of success, I can tell you, everybody was pretty pumped for Gary on the starting line. Like, yeah, I know you guys have put a lot of work. Everybody went over to Gary, and it was kind of a more than normal race win kind of moment.
It was, you know, so we have a couple of races, quite honestly, on our bucket list, and it's combined bucket list. But, you know, St. Louis was absolutely one of them in 2019. That's our big St. Charles, you know, Brad's hometown, and that was a phenomenal win. Obviously, Indy would be a great one on our bucket list, but Sonoma is very special to us. We have a lot of friends and family there. We have divisional races there. We won the division championship, you know, going to that racetrack. We have a lot of good relationships there with disciples. You know, there's a huge story around disciples there now. It feels very much like home. And so that was one that was on our bucket list. So we've got about five on our bucket list. I'm not going to divulge them all. I just divulged a couple of them because I don't want to jinx anything. But I think the moment was extra special because of that. It's just one of those that both Gary and I had to get. We wanted to do well there. We wanted to do it in front of our friends and family or with our friends and family. And to be able to check that off the list was huge for all of us. And Timmy, too. You know, Timmy had a special moment there. He had his family there, and they've never been there when he's won a race in all of the years he's been racing. So it was cool on many fronts.
That is so great. Wow, I didn't know that about Tim, and a lot going on. Tim had a tough day, man. He had to bring the pit cart back a couple of times. Like, he'd go walking by, and then he'd have to go back and get the pit cart. But everything, maybe he should bring the pit cart back every time, the starter cart.
I don't know. We might just start doing this mojo and making sure we replicate and do everything the same, because it worked out good. I feel bad for Jerry, because you really want to race the race and be able to make it down the racetrack to at least try. But I think Timmy's got things under control. I think he's definitely showing what he can do with both the four valve and two valve. So I'm really looking forward to the next race,
which is this weekend. And Speaking of historic racetracks, we're going to one, and then the final race of the Western Swing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pomona, it's an interesting one. We've never, I personally have never been there twice in 1 year. And, you know, here we are putting them fairly close together since the first one got delayed. So it'll be, you know, in July and then back again at the end of the year. So yeah, it's historical. We get to go to the museum twice, maybe. So very cool.
Very, very cool. Karen, I wish to thank you for coming on WFO Radio. Always appreciate it. You know, you walk in the media center and you were like, can you believe this? And I was like, yeah, I can believe it. I've seen this story before, but it was still great to have you go out there and get it, mix it up, right? Like, we need to mix it up. We need different winners and personalities so that everybody, you got fans, you've got a lot of fans back to the Geico bike days. Like, a lot of people follow you, and you made them all happy with this win. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it was definitely, like I say, I'm considering this one of my specialist, one of the most special wins, just because of where it happened, how it happened, and all the people who were around us and surrounded us. So yeah, off again.
Here we go. Just like that. Thank you very much for making the time. And who knows? Maybe we'll be speaking again next week now that we have like rebroken the ice. Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There she goes, Karen Stouffer, with us here on WFO Radio. How about that? How about that? We'll be back after this. I think it went off pretty well. I think people can't even tell the difference. That's what happens when you wear the same shirt 2 days in a row. Don't worry. I watched it. Thank you to Karen Stouffer for coming on WFO Radio, the super show. We had Robert Height. We had Aaron Stanfield. We had Karen Stouffer. Who else do we need to make this a complete Sonoma NHRA Nationals results show? Who do we need? The guy who has got an opportunity to sweep the Western Swing. He is the three-time and reigning defending Top Fuel World Champion. His dad is pretty good, too. Steve Torrence. What's up, Steve? How are you?
I'm good, Joe. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. This is the second Torrence I've spoken with today. I spoke with your dad a little bit earlier. He was pretty jazzed about that Super Comp win out there in Kansas. I know you guys were like tracking it every step of the way. And for you guys to do like the father-son double in two different states, that's pretty cool.
Man, unbelievable. And I'll be the first to tell you, it's way more difficult to win one of those Super Comp races as a driver than it is a Top Fuel race, because you got almost always at least, you know, seven rounds, sometimes eight, and it's tough. And we were actually getting ready to do the on stage interview with Reinhardt there when we found out Billy had won the final in Topeka. So it was pretty cool to be able to do it almost at the exact same time. And halfway across the country, two Torrence boys in the final and getting the win.
Yeah, I think this photograph might be everybody finding out that Billy won. I'm not exactly sure, either that or they're looking at the favorite sports team scores, but I'm guessing that that's Billy getting the win.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was it right there. So, I mean, it was pretty cool.
But one thing that I did not know or didn't fully understand or just hadn't put it all together, I know that you guys are building super comp cars now. You had it at the, I guess, the U.S. Nationals last year, and the Capco boys are building the cars when they're not out on the tour. And he was taking the, you know, prototype car out into competition, maybe not for the exact first time, but early in its development. And he wins the race. And he said he could already have 50 orders if he, you know, had the guys at the shop, that kind of deal. Talk a little bit about that project before we talk about your win. I think it just goes to show you that you're involved in drag racing in multiple levels and layers.
This project's been going on for a few years, you know, kind of taking a little time to get everything up and running and getting geared up. Morgan Lucas Racing is building the chassis, and then our guys there at the shop are assembling them and doing the final details and getting them race ready, that you can buy them a roller, you can buy them completely plumbed and wired, ready to go, turnkey. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get them, but they're just a great piece. And I mean, if I was going to go super comp racing, that I would think that would be the car that I'd want to be in. It was really a great way to occupy some time, keep the guys busy, and keep some income coming in during the COVID, just to sustain the race boys. And there's only so much stuff that you can prepare and get ready during that time. And while we didn't know what the schedule was going to be or when we'd be back, those guys were able to work on those day in and day out. And it's been a good deal. And Billy's really been right there every step of the way, involved in the minor details. And that's what really sets any race car apart, or anything apart, is just the fit and the finish and the minor details to make it more user-friendly, accessible. And just a lot of those sportsman racers that go out and race by themselves or with one person to help. And so it needs to be where you can do everything yourself, or somebody can help you do it and not require a team like what we do with a fuel car. So it's pretty cool to watch. And most importantly, it was very gratifying for us and all the guys to see Billy get the first win in one of these new cars. And so he's the guy that's flying the flag for the Super Comp cars. That's pretty neat.
That's great. Well, I remember when he won Super Comp in Atlanta. And for fans of Nitro out there, like, I just, you know, I say it on the mic every time, and hopefully the .90 racers, you know, they know that I'm a fan. Like, I love that style of racing. I get that people don't get throttle stops, sure, but it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do and be successful, and I want to tell their story. But for Billy to jump in the car in Atlanta a couple years back and win, and then take some time off and jump in the car and win, like, that says something about your dad. This guy is really good.
He's a great race car driver, and my dad had never driven an alcohol car or a fuel car or anything that quick up until the time we just said, hey man, we need you to drive a second car and come help us. And so kind of threw him to the wolves, and he did a great job, and he's done an unbelievable job driving the fuel car. I mean, he goes up there and is consistent in what he does, his whole routine. And that's a major factor in being successful with the fuel car, because if you're doing something different as a driver, it's hard for the crew chief to tune it. It's hard for them to make the same call over and over. If you're really erratic in your burnout, in your staging process, how much the car weighs, it changes everything. So he's done a great job doing it and had some really good success. I mean, I couldn't be more proud. It's the only person that I've ever taught how to drive a race car, just from experience. And I mean, I just told him, I said, hey, this is what I've learned. This is how I do it, and go ahead. And it seemed to work for him, because he's kicked my butt a couple times and made me like it. So it's been fun.
And made you like it. That's great. Well, you turned out to be a good kid. All right, listen, we got to talk round by round. I want to talk your thoughts on the Western Swing. Like, you know, maybe you've won all the races of the Swing. You've never won Pomona of the Swing, because there's never been a Pomona of the Swing. This is kind of a unique Western Swing. You guys got a chance. I want to talk about your round by round, but we do have people watching on social. A guy has asked what a lot of people are asking. It's kind of a tough question. He wants your opinion. So let's talk about it real quick. He says, ask Steve if he thinks NHRA is in trouble not being able to fill fields, both in Top Fuel, Funny Car, at a lot of events. What can be done to correct this? I'm 63, and I've never seen so many events with short fields. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's his opinion and his question. What is your answer to what he says?
Well, I personally have not seen so many short fields myself as well. And to be honest with you, I don't know the solution. I know that as owners and crew chiefs and drivers, we have meetings with NHRA, and we're working as hard as we possibly can to come up with some type of resolution to this. I mean, none of us like it. None of us like going out there and having 12 car fields, 13 car fields, and having a bye in the second round or a bye in the semis. I mean, it's we're all out there to compete. We're all out there to race, and you don't want anything given to you. So, and you don't want anything given to anyone else. You want to make it to the final round, and everybody had to earn their way there. So I don't know exactly what the solution is. I think this is going to be some effect of the COVID-19 virus and everything being so down and so uncertain for so long that it's taken some of our independent teams and some of our independent cars that come out to these races. It's just kind of taking them out at the knees, and it's going to take a little bit of time to recover and be able to get those guys back out. But we'll see. And I mean, like I said the other day in my interview, we need more people to be exposed to our sport. We need more people to see exactly what NHRA drag racing is, see the thrill, the excitement. I mean, our sport's a total sensory sport. You have to see it, feel it, and hear it to enjoy it. It's not the same sitting at home. And so, I mean, we did a deal earlier in the year with Governor Abbott from Texas, and just different audience, somebody different that's not who you would typically think is your drag racing fan. And it's brought some money into our sport. It's brought money into the Texas Motorplex for Texas to keep people out here. And I mean, I think that I know I'm not the only driver, owner, whatever, out here trying to save it. And I don't think we're in danger, but we need to do something and be proactive to get us going again and just get everything fired back up. And I think that we're all doing everything we can, and we're all in the same boat. I mean, we don't like seeing those same fields either. And we're working hard to get it back. I mean, we have a lot of fans that support us and love us, and a lot of fans that support us and hate us, you know, but whatever. I mean, if you love me, great. If you hate me, great. But just come and root for somebody else. But we got to get you there.
There you go. Look at that. Josh Hart is out there, it looks like, saying he totally agrees with Steve. Maddie saying,
I just saw a picture of Josh Hart at the beach on vacation or something on Facebook. So, I'd rather be where he's at than in my office.
Yeah, but he's watching us on vacation on the beach. Come on, Josh, get out of here.
That's probably awesome.
Yeah. But to that point, you know, we did have a full field of funny car. I think it has everything to do with the pandemic. That's my opinion. You stop everything. You put brakes on everything. People got to get businesses going. People got to get things going. They got family members they're taking care of. It was a crash, and now we're coming back. But that crowd out there, the Denver crowd, amazing. We spoke with Gary after that win. We spoke with Bobby before that. We were kind of getting to know the Capco boys. But now you're back because of the Western swing. Were you wondering where we were? Like, hey, man, what's up with WFO?
No. I was really excited to be able to have Bobby take over and do one and have Gary take over. And I really wanted Hogan to do it this week, too. But Hogan doesn't volunteer to do a whole lot very much, and dang sure not interviews. So it if we can get him back on, it'd be great. But I had a good time listening to Bob's interview. Gary's always just pretty even keel and going. And I know Gary really, really well, and I know Bobby well, but I didn't know the part about Bobby being scared to death 90% of the runs in a fuel car and saying it's the worst thing ever. And you know, it just was comical. So when I saw him Friday morning at the racetrack, I was like, hey, man, you want to drive this thing this weekend? He goes, no. and you know how animated Bobby is. So yeah. It's the whole Italian thing. You get it really well.
I am aware. I am aware. That's why we get along. All right, racing. Cam Foray, first round. Cam was super cool. You guys had to sit on the starting line. We had a little bit of a cleanup. I went over and talked to him. I was like, hey, man, can we talk to you while you're strapped in the car ready for this round? And he was like, yeah, he was. And I loved hearing you talk about him at the top end, that not only did you guys get so beyond your thing in the past, but that you talked to each other, you were hanging out with each other, you helped each other. That's counterintuitive to what some people might say. That's why I wasn't going to, some people ask me why I didn't ask him about the thing that happened a few years ago. And I said, like, that's such old news. I'm not dragging these guys back there when they're totally beyond it. That having been said, he's trying to beat you. He's trying to make a name for himself in this sport. And he got down the track.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because there are people that are still hung on that. And, you know, you only see a few minutes of people on TV and you form an opinion, you go on and you held all that grudge forever. Cam and I talked that day and actually have, you know, become buddies about it. I mean, I went over there and I was talking to him about his little boy Jet riding his new bike and how he's getting going and telling him how cool it is to be a dad. And, I mean, he already knows that, but, I mean, there's – you know, there's not a lot of us out there. I mean, it's the traveling circus, and everybody is going to have tempers flare, but everybody's going to get back along the next day and go on about their business. And some people can't forget that, and some people can. It was cool to race him. I mean, the Worsham guys, I've known Dell and Chuck for forever. And so I think I made the comment at the end when I was looking for Cam that morning, and I was looking for Dell's normal trailer that he's had forever. And it's a big competition trailer. And I look down on each side of my row and I'm like, well, I don't see Dell's trailer. So I walk over to the next aisle and I walk up and down the row and I don't see Dell's trailer. Well, then I just go over to the Rocket trailer, Alexis's trailer, where Chuck and Dell are at. And I'm like, where's Cam at? Chuck Worsham, like, so snide and smirky, looks at me and starts laughing. He goes, what are you going to do, try to punch him? Oh. And so, I mean, I had to throw that out there in the interview. But, you know, Cameron and I laugh about it. And then I was talking to him. Some of these guys make these comments on Facebook and social media, and he and I both get a good laugh out of looking at them. So, what's it say? Good rivalries are always good for the fights now and then, get the fans pumped up. Just saying, yeah. Sometimes NHRA wishes for stuff and they get it, and then they change their mind about what they wished for.
Isn't that true?
You know, passion is always there, and you may try to hide it or subdue it or whatever. You know, I totally regret what I did, but that stuff's gone. Now I just go out there and have a good time racing. First round was, you know, that car right there, Worsham's car, it may not be the quickest car at the place, but it's usually pretty consistent, whether Chrisman's driving it, Cam's driving it, whoever's driving it. It always goes A to B. And they don't tear up a lot of stuff, and they're going to be there. So you go out there and you got to do your job. You got to be on the tree, got to drive straight, and you can't go out there and swing for the fence and smoke tires and those guys not pick you off. So, I mean, not that I was just overly concerned, but I mean, you keep that in the back of your mind and say, okay, go do your job. Don't screw up, because these guys definitely can pick you off. And Cam's a good driver on the tree and has had an opportunity to drive more. I mean, he's more comfortable in the car. You know, like you said, he's sitting there and he's super calm. That's a sign of somebody that's a good driver. I mean, you don't want to be in that thing like Bob, scared to death. What's going to happen?
Bobby, you know? You're never going to live it down, Bobby. He's probably out there watching right now. He's never going to live that down. He was honest with me, and here we are, tech. All right, let's move to the second round.
Well, he had a wreck early on.
Yeah, no, I know. No, and that'll do it. That'll do it. Like, first of all, anyone who gets in one for the first time period at all is a different kind of person. Like, I can see myself getting into a pro stock car. I can't see myself getting into a nitro car. It's just, and I love it. I just, you know, self-preservation. So what you guys do is amazing. And as much as they go down the racetrack, yeah, it's not a normal thing. You guys aren't normal people. Doug Coletta is not a normal person. He's really good on the starting line. You had to run him second round. Tough day, Steve. You got to go up against Doug, then you go up against Antron, then you go up against Leah. Tell me about Doug, knowing what you know about him. Guy's brutal.
Oh, Doug is like the silent assassin. He sits over there. He just smiles. You walk up, shakes your hand, gets in the car, and tries to cut your head off. And unfortunately for them, fortunately for us, they've been struggling. They haven't had the best car, and they're trying to figure it out. They've changed some personnel over there, but man, that thing's like a pet snake. He can turn around and bite you at any given time. And you know, they came out and ran 73 first round. That's no slouch, and you got to be prepared for it. And as far as me, I just need to go up there and do my job. But that puts some pressure on old Hoagie and Bobby to make sure that thing slides down through there, but at a quick rate of speed and quickly. So that was a tough round. I was 67. He was 63 on the tree. Both of us were shallow. I mean, we're pretty much on our game. I think the rollout's a little bit long there. So the trees were a little slower than normal, but that round right there is a final round anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, that, absolutely. And you get by it and you got to run Antron. And hey, I just want to tell you, and I want to tell the audience, since we've been going for a little more than an hour, I know you got work, that I am involved in a wicked lightning storm all around my house right now. And if we were to get like zapped off the air, hey, I'll see you Friday night in Pomona. We'll just be done. Don't worry about reconnecting. The same is true for everybody out there. If we were to lose power here in sunny, rainy, lightning infested South Florida, just FYI. But you're going up against Antron, same deal, right? Like, I feel like everybody is trying to get their stuff right. Like Robert Hyde told us at the start of the show, get their act together, and you're going up against them. Your act is already together. They ran an 81. It just wasn't enough for your 73, and you go to the final round.
And that's that. Robert hit the nail on the head, and it's not that we've been that dominant, but there's just been quite a few teams that are struggling, and we've seemed to be able to find the fix or whatever it is. We've found our momentum a little bit quicker. So I see fans that are complaining that, oh, well, these guys need to retire, this guy's doing this. It's not that simple. I mean, these things, when you add nitro into the mix, I don't care if it's your lawnmower or if you pour it in the wheelbarrow, something's going to happen. And it's super difficult. AB has beat me more than anyone ever. I mean, that guy has, for years, just had my number. And mentally, it was difficult for me to overcome for a while. And so I'd go up there and double step or red light or be late and outrun him, but get beat on a hole shot. And you do that when you're thinking too much, when somebody's in your head, or when you change your routine, which I did later in the day. But I don't want those guys to figure it out anytime soon, because Brian Karate, Mark Oswald, Brad Mason, every one of those guys over there, I'm good buddies with them all. They're bad dudes, and they're not three-time champs for no reason. You don't just get those handed to you. And Antron Brown's the best lever in the class. I know that you say Justin Ashley's got the best reaction time average. Well, he's only got about 15 runs. Antron Brown's going to be going rounds and consistent. He, in my opinion, he's the best driver, the best lever. He's the best everything in the class. He's the total package, and you can never take him lightly.
Yeah, totally. Exciting racing. Like, you had to earn every run, because then the final round you got Leah. Leah got through Brittany, earned a Byron, talking about short fields, but it's still very exciting to see those two on the racetrack for the first time since 2017. A shocking number. They hadn't raced since 2017, but now it's you and Leah. And I know that you guys, like, get up to race each other. And this is a little different because, you know, now Tony Stewart is over there, and we're getting a lot of attention to our sport because of that. And he has yet to really experience a victory. And I'm just looking at the starting line thinking, like, this is super cool here at Sonoma. This is a meaningful final round. And I wonder what's going to happen. And bink, the wind light comes over on the Capco side. Capco guys go crazy. Here come the air horns. And now you got a shot to sweep the Western swing.
Yeah. Super crazy final round. Like I said the other day, you know, I kind of, I got in my own head. I was thinking, man, I need to go up here and really be on the tree, really crush it. They had went 72-6 the round before. I mean, that was pretty dang stout. When they did it, I was like, oh man, that's pretty tough. And Okahara, that guy knows what he's doing. I mean, they've won a lot of races. Lee had been struggling on the tree, and I thought, I mean, I need to be on my game. And if they outrun us, maybe I can pick it off on a hole shot. And I just went up there. I thought, you know, I'm gonna speed up my process. I'm gonna go in here and get in here and do this and roll in a little bit and try to go 40 or 50 on the tree. And all day long, I felt like the trees had been being pretty quick, meaning from the time the last stage bulb comes on until the lights flash was pretty quick. And in the final round, it seemed like it was forever. It just was waiting. And no matter how hard you try, sometimes your foot just says, hey, bud, it's time to go. And it started squeezing the gas. And I caught myself and was able to pull off before I really got committed. But by that time, the light was coming on. So, you know, you're pushing, you're stopping, the light's on, you're pushing again. I'm 115 on the tree. And I knew when I hit the gas, I'm like, man, I'm dead late. Come on, Lord, be with me and push me a little bit. And fortunately, she was late too. I mean, she was 106. We were 115 the whole way down through there. That 3.75 second run took about 15 seconds to happen. I could hear that Okuma car the whole way. And you're just praying and looking and go through, throw the parachutes. And it took forever. But the light finally came on the side of the wall. And we were able to get the win, but we were there for the picking. I mean, that was definitely, I slipped up, but my race boys, they saved me.
Amazing. And that's what it takes. And that's what you guys have got going right now is like, if she's 106, if she's 105, 103, she wins the race by a thou. It's just, if you're a couple of thousands of a second when you're a 10th late, like because of a weird thing, it's like, what causes that? It's cosmic. It's just amazing that you guys are able to do it. All right. Sweeping the swing, something you've never done. You've swept the countdown. So this is not as big a deal as that, but it's something you want. It's historic. There's a certain number of people who have done it. It's rare and you've got a shot and you'll be the only one to have the Pomona swing, which has never happened. So it's going to be hard though. It's going to be hot. It's going to be brutally hot. It's a bumpy track. What's the plan?
Go do what we do. I think that anytime you start looking at the end result, the end goal, you can get distracted. And so we're not going to look at this like, oh, we're going to Pomona to sweep the swing. We're going there to survive parts attrition because it's going to be so hot. We're going there to do the best we can and try to win one round at a time, four times on Sunday. And I think that that's the mindset that we carry all the time. And it's kind of like, keep it simple, stupid. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't look at what you got to do to do this or what you got to do to do that. Just go out there and try to win the round and race the guy or the girl beside you each lap. And maybe we'll be able to look up at the end of the day and say, hey, we've won Pomona. We swept the swing. It's kind of crazy that people haven't done it anymore because I think we went to 9 final rounds in a row before we lost. Schumacher went to 8, or maybe he won 9 before he lost or something. I mean, it's just when you do it, you know, you need to be hot and rolling on those final rounds and race wins during the middle of the year when the Western swing is and Pomona's definitely going to add a whole new dimension to it and change everything about it because we're going to run late Friday night, late Saturday night, and then a 10 o'clock start Sunday morning. So conditions are not going to be anywhere the same as what they will be in qualifying. And so when we go out there Sunday morning, I mean, it's going to be Candyland. Guys like Grubnik are going to throw down and you'll see low ET of the weekend, probably first round, I think, on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And then it'll just be survival. It'll just be survival for getting the car down the track. And you know, the drivers may come into play. I mean, this may be a pedal fest all day. Who knows? mean, it's Southern California. I think it's going to be hot.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. 50 race wins, including your alcohol wins. You clinched a spot in the countdown. It was a major weekend for you guys. I got to hang out with Charlie a little bit more. All good stuff. Steve, thank you for making the time with us once again. Your dad wins in Kansas, and you're right in the middle of a historic run in the NHRA. Thank you for making the time on WFO Radio. I appreciate you, and I'll see you on Friday as we're going to go at it again, the final race of the Western Swing, but really just heating up Kansas, Brainerd, Indy, countdown. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be talking to you here in a few days.
I like the Hoagie idea, though, and he has already said he'll do it. I was thinking about getting Bob on there with him, though, just to, like, you know, you tell me, though. Hoagie said he would do it.
Keep him going.
Keep him going. Exactly, exactly. Guy's amazing. The garlic tie, to me, is what's amazing. Like, your success is direct connection to Big Daddy Don Garlitz, and you guys illustrated that last year, but I think it's cool. Thank you,
Thank
Steve.
Thank you so much. And hey, appreciate you having me on. Have a great day.
All right. Talk soon. See you Friday. There he goes. Steve Torrence with us here on WFO Radio. How about that? Steve-O wins again. And that brings us to conclusion. All right. Final comments in the comment section before I get electrocuted here. And what is amazing is that these people support WFO Radio. Now, I'll tell you the real deal about the electrocution after I tell you about the sponsors, maybe for the final time. TotalSeal.com, the leader in ring seal technology. Go to TotalSeal.com. You can pick up Hidden Horsepower if you're a diesel guy. Cass Choate, the most recent episode of Hidden Horsepower. Guy is a very motivational character. Check him out, TotalSeal.com. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, The Dragster Adventure, FrankHawley.com. Go drive a dragster. Yes, you can drive a dragster. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. Samtech.edu. Tell them you heard about it on WFO Radio. And if you're looking for a career, if you're a veteran, they're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill. So think about it. Motorsport EFI tuning. They can teach you to program CNC machines. It's amazing stuff. Our friends at Nitrofish, of course, and Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. That's RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Not to mention the WFO Radio store on our website where you can get face coverings. Oh, the face coverings. You know, yesterday I regretted it a little bit. Like, I always regret it when I get off topic in any way because people come to us to hear about drag racing, right? And to lose their worries and themselves in the beauty of drag racing. And then when we drag the real world back into the drag racing world, it's a little bit of a bummer, and I get it. But, you know, you can't help it. Every once in a while, it's surrounded. So we got face coverings, stickers in with the face coverings, even free stickers all up in the WFO Radio store. If you need such things, go to the WFO Radio store. And I'm just like, having such a good time being out at the track, surrounded by people who love drag racing as much as I do, and in some cases more, like loving what's going on. Anything that threatens that being back, anything that threatens it, it's like, you know, I don't want to compare myself to a parent of a child. That's not it. But, you know, Mama Grizzly, right? Like, people think about that. You can't threaten something someone loves. And that's what's happening. All of a sudden, threats have arisen all of a sudden. Like, what? Wait, what? We're being pulled back into this? Why? What happened? No, it can be over. No, it's not over. Why it's not over? Well, it's not over because, oh, and that gets me a little bit bothered and hot under the collar and just wanting to motivate people. Like, hey, man, we can choose to end this thing right now. It can be over right now. But, you know, it's all decisions for people to make. And this has been the WFO Radio Super Show. There's lightning all around us, guys. I've got backup systems, like battery backups and all my stuff. And you got to plug in all the right stuff. And I remember one time I was on the air and lightning struck and poof, everything out, except for the two things I had plugged in, and it wasn't the right things. But this time, right in the middle of Steve-O, everything went out, except for my system here. And we continued to stream. Wow. But it's cackling all around us. South Florida lightning. There's nothing like it. I see Mark Rabilis out there chasing lightning storms and getting some great shots. And it is wicked out there right now. You can even feel like a little electricity in the air. So I'll be excited to get to Southern California. Oh, yeah. I'll be excited. Thanks to Robert Height for coming on the show. great job by Robert, and he and Aaron Stanfield having a little bit of a moment right there. Aaron and Robert talking about their Chevrolet Camaros. Robert wants to drive a pro stock car before his career is over. Someone should make that happen. Like, that's the kind of thing that someone should make it happen in our little sport, taking advantage of an opportunity. Oh, Robert Height wants to drive a pro stock car, little social media video or something, an aside for Chevrolet. Like, who is going to make that happen? Take advantage of the opportunity. Doesn't have to happen during the countdown or right before the U.S. Nationals. But if Robert Height wants to drive a pro stock car, I think everybody in pro stock should be giving him the opportunity, especially because it's pretty hard. Pretty hard. All right, let's see what your comments are. Comment section. Drag Illustrated. Woo! Thank you. Great show, Joe. Thank you, Drag Illustrated. And do I still have the photos of the cover? I want to mention, see, you know what, Drag Illustrated? That's a wonderful comment, but you reminded me of a question that I wanted to mention to Aaron that I talked to him about that I didn't ask him. And so now your great, wonderful compliment is actually a reminder of my failure. Thanks a lot. The only drag racer that Tony Stewart mentions in the Drag Illustrated interview with him and Leah is Aaron Stanfield. And I thought that that was the coolest thing. Tony, you know, he talks about Leah, of course, and Todd Okahara and those guys. But when he shouts out a racer's racer, when he shouts out someone that he respects, someone that he's been watching and admiring and thinking about, like, wow, man, this is the real deal. This kid, who does he shout out? Aaron Stanfield. I thought that was awesome. So go read the article. Let's see. Al says, we still live so far. Jim Essex says, great show. Jay says, hope to see you in Pomona. I'll be there, baby. That is my intention, unless, you know, what a great show. Yeah, we got, this is what WFO history is all about. You know, we've been doing this for over 10 years. We just haven't had the technology to video live stream everybody. How about the Karen pre-record? You could barely tell. If I had never told you, you would not have known. But I tell you because that's me. Top Fuel 173. Wait to see a WFO sponsored Top Fuel car. Yes, absolutely. I would definitely do that. We would have to bring on some more sponsors to the show so that we could get a little more financial income. And then we could redistribute that financial income as promotional advertising dollars. And it would be great. And it could go right on the hood or the door or the wing or someone's car. But in the meantime, any Top Fuel teams or racing teams that want to fly the flag of WFO Radio for free and just get the love of WFO Radio and all the cosmic energy that comes with it, you can just ask me for a sticker. And each of the last two races, I've had WFO Radio stickers on me, but I haven't really had the opportunity to pass them out. Maybe in Pomona. Eric says, wish you could send some of the rain to the West Coast. We could really use it. Well, that's the thing about Florida. We get plenty of rain. That's why we have the Everglades, the river of grass. I would love to send you some rain, and I would love for everybody to have good, positive weather, get rid of the smoke, get rid of the wildfires, all of that. Get rid of the virus, get rid of everything. Everybody having a good time, positive, wonderful energy, where we could go out there and just enjoy what we love with our friends and loved ones forever. That's what I would love. Doesn't seem like reality. But there are some things we can control. Monica, great super show today. Safe travels to Cali. Yeah, you guys heard about my upgrade. That's what you know about. From Miami to LA, got the upgrade, sitting up front. Super excited. Great show. The best interview show of the year. Thank you very much, Jay. And you can tell your friends. That's the best way to do it, to get the word out. It's hot out here, ugh, says Terry. Oh, I know. I'm going to be out there. And everybody loving Steve, like Steve has, gives us such honesty and genuine commentary. And the, you know, people wanted me to bring up the thing with Cam when I talked, why didn't you bring up that with Cam? Like, that's not the kind of journalism that I do. It's not really that. Like, that's old news. It would have been sensationalism and unnecessary. It would have been out of place and incorrect and wrong. Cam was so gracious. The driver is in the cockpit of a Top Fuel dragster in the water box, ready to go out onto the track. And he grants us an interview. And I put the mic up under his helmet and he tells us about things. But Cam Foray, I would love to see him get a more consistent opportunity out there because the kid's cool. He's popular and he's a good racer. So see what Art says. Getting me pumped up for the day, Joe. What a motivator. Thank you, Art. I saw you post that yesterday. My dad is a Marine Corps drill instructor. when it comes to positive go get them kind of stuff, while I don't have everything that he has, and I did not serve in the United States Marine Corps, I want to make it certain that you know, but I did get the personalized civilian version of the training, and confidence and motivation are the keys to success. Simple as that. And anybody can do it. You just got to want to. You got to have the want to. How about them Capco boys? And that's exactly it. And that's where we'll end this super show and head out onto the Western Swing, the final race, Auto Club Raceway at Pomona, the final race of the three-race tour from Denver to Sonoma to Seattle. And I'm very excited at being at Auto Club Raceway and having a good time with all you race fans. And if you're in the area, you got to get a ticket. You got to come out. And I know there's a little thing with the numbers and all. And I just tell you, outside, the wind is blowing and the nitro is in the air. And I think about that stuff. And I take great care to think about the situation I'm in. And I look around when I'm at the track and I think to myself, am I safe? And I do the math and I use my brain and I use my logic and I approach it with paranoia and I say, yeah, I think I am. Because outside, surrounded by nitro in the relatively solitary sport that is drag racing. So come on out, spend some time with us as we go WFO at the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals presented by Protect the Harvest. Can Steve O and the Capco boys sweep the swing? Can they do it? History, more history. I actually did a little research today. I'm not going to hit Steve with it, but you know there's 11 races to go. And if Steve were to win 9 of the 11, he would tie Tony Schumacher with 15 races. And if he wins 9 of 11, he's going to win the championship and tie the greatest season of all time. Can they do it? And that's the question. Of course not. No way. Right? Well, yeah. If anybody can do it right now, it's them. Kurt says, did I miss the show? But don't worry, Kurt. It'll be available on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere very, very soon. You can watch it on Twitter almost immediately. And just to tick through a couple of great photographs that we got. Steve-O, fired up. Look at them watching Billy win. High fives all around. A hug between competitors. Iceman, Aaron Stanfield. It hasn't taken root just yet. We got to get Reinhardt on board. He thinks he can come up with something better. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. I'll see you in Pomona. This is the final show of the week. So hit the archive, share the archive, subscribe to the podcast. Do it now.